greet you this morning in the name of a risen Savior. That is so special to be able to be gathered together this morning to commemorate someone that's not dead, to commemorate such a great Savior that we serve. 2 weeks ago, there was a royal over in England that passed away. His life is over, and he passed in great pomp and splendor. A lot of time went into putting together the service to commemorate his life and his death. They spent all week practicing and getting it right. Is that the kind of effort that you have put forth this morning to come together to commemorate such a wonderful God, Jesus, our Lord and Savior? Brother Titus said, how much does Jesus mean to you this morning? I was blessed with his thoughts. We are here to commemorate, to remember the great God that we have on our side, the one that's working for us, the one that we have daily communion with. This morning, I would like to just talk about having daily communion with God, thinking about what is communion, and looking at people in the scripture that lost that communion. Namely, I want to look at Peter. He's a dynamic individual, a man that had all kinds of things going for him. And how many times Jesus had to call him out. And I see a picture of ourselves that in all our effort to do things right, we're human. And we make mistakes, and Jesus has to say, Vernon, that's not how we live. Vernon, you need to do better than that. Looking at several illustrations of that this morning. Daily communion with God. And I would like to, for my opening thoughts, turn with me to John chapter 21. I just want to pull a phrase out of here, and then at the close of the service, I'm going to come back to the scripture. We have some of the last words of Jesus in the book of John. And you know how when you finish up a book, maybe it's the last thoughts that stay with you. But here's what we have in verse 19. He said unto him, follow me. Follow me. We also have the same verse in 21. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So this morning I kind of tend to take that phrase of following Jesus and Jesus looking at each one of our lives and saying, you follow me. You get in line and you follow. If you follow someone, that means you got in line. You got in sequence with the person that you're following. And Jesus is calling us to follow him. He called Peter to that. And I want to reflect on Peter's life and look how that made such a great impact in his life, or the lack thereof. I want you to think about how easy it is to follow and how easy it is to get out of line and just kind of veer off to the side, and next thing, we're not following anymore. We're doing my own thing. My tendency is to go wrong. And I need a life that Jesus can bless if I want to have communion this morning. If I want to have a real communion with my Heavenly Father, I need him to cleanse my life so that I can follow him in a real way. Now, we believe in real communion. You have the table here this morning. We got, you know what's under the covers. There's the thing of juice. There's some bread. We believe in literal communion, something that we will partake of together. Two times a year, we gather here, Lord willing, we gather, and we share in communion. It's a special event. It's something that we plan on being here. We adjust our schedules, and we make it happen. However, we can partake of communion this morning and not get our lives changed. This communion table does not sanctify my life. It has nothing to do with cleansing power in my life. That's a choice that I have to make each and every day. So that when I come here to this communion service, that it can be a special time, a special meaning to me. When we allow God to reach down and change my life, my personal life, your life, the lives together, And like Peter, Jesus calls each one of us and says, follow me. And when we're following Jesus, this communion service this morning will be a very special time. I looked up the word communion. We use it a lot. We all know what communion is. But there were three different definitions of communion. And one of them is what we're seeing right here this morning. It's a service of Christian worship at which bread and wine are shared. And so we are having communion this morning. It's a communion service. It's a special service that we get together to share the emblems together. That's one. Definition number two says, a close relationship with someone or something, or intimate fellowship. And so we can have a very close relationship with each other. That is communion. Or point number three was a group of Christians who have the same common faith and discipline. And I like that this morning because we all gather here. We have the same common faith and discipline. And that brings us communion as a body of believers here at Calvary Mennonite Church this morning. We have communion together, one with the other. And then as we come together in unity, we share in a common union, the communion together. We love our church here, and I hear that said a lot in our council service, where people say, I love the fellowship here. I love my brothers and sisters here at Calvary. We do have communion with each other, and that knits our hearts together. That's the way it should be. But it takes a lot of hard work. Communion, good communion, just doesn't happen. My old carnality is just always wanting to rear its head and to destroy that communion that we have. And so we have to allow God to continue to work in my life, just like Peter. Now, we know Peter. We studied Peter. We know how Peter was that outgoing man. He just always said what everyone else was thinking. He just said what come to the top of his head, and it got him in trouble. There were times when it got him in trouble, and Jesus had to call him out. And I want to look at some of them this morning. But first of all, I want to look at the account in Matthew 16. You can turn with me there. We're going to work our way through the book of Matthew, looking at different accounts of how Peter responded to Jesus. Our personalities vary so much. And maybe you're a Peter this morning. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're someone that enjoys talking. Maybe you're quiet and you just enjoy thinking. But either way, we need God to correct us when we're wrong. Matthew 16, we have Jesus putting a question in verse 15 to Peter. And he says, Peter, who do you say that I am? And we have Peter given this great, grand statement. Verse 15, he saith unto him, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shalt be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is one time Peter got it right. He understood who Jesus was, and he just proclaimed loudly that, Lord, you're God. And we have Jesus saying, blessed art thou. Can you imagine having Jesus tell you that? Blessed are you, brother, sister, for your response, for your faith in me. You are so right. Peter, you don't even understand what you said, but it was revealed to you. See how it says there? For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Maybe we don't fully understand Jesus this morning, but as we walk with him and as we continue to follow him, we understand him more and more. He said, Peter, not only that, but you're going to be a very influential person. And I can imagine maybe Peter, okay, he was like we were or are. He has feelings. And he's getting a compliment from Jesus. Maybe Peter began to smile. Maybe Peter began to straighten up just a little bit more. Maybe Peter began to think, wow, maybe I am finally somebody. Maybe I am going to amount to some good in this world. He goes on to say, Peter, you're going to be very influential in the kingdom of heaven. I've given you the keys. And we could go into that big discussion. But he opened up the doors to the Gentile world. We know that. There was a lot of potential that Peter unlocked by allowing God to work in his heart and his life. What do you think Peter was thinking about as he went on with his work that day? I imagine he kept reliving those thoughts of Jesus. Jesus' blessing to him. He said, blessed art thou. It seemed like that he was blessed. Let's just fast forward a few hours. And then let's see what happened. From that time forth, at verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he, Jesus, turned and said unto him, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou art savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Wow. He just got done being blessed. And now Jesus is saying, you are an offense to me. The way you're wanting to live your life is a total offense to me. Get out of my life. Don't bring that into me. Don't bring that to me. I kind of feel bad for Peter. That's a pretty strong statement that Jesus said to him. Called him Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God. That's some strong language to tell someone. That you're living your life totally hypocritical to what God wants of you. I think Jesus was telling him to be quiet. Stop thinking about yourself, but think about what I want for your life. So I have my main point here this morning. If we want to follow Jesus and be close, and if we want to follow Jesus and be in close communion with him, we have to learn to accept correction. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We're all Peters. We're either going to say what we think or we're going to think thoughts that are totally wrong. And there's going to be times in our life where Jesus reaches down and he says, that's wrong. And he'll call us out. And it might be the brothers, the sisters in the church that call us out for our attitude or our thoughts and says, that is not of God. You need to repent of that. Can we accept that? Jesus was basically telling Peter, Peter, you got out of line. Get back in line. You're going to follow me. You're out of line. You're doing your own thing. If you're going to follow me, get back in line. And it wasn't just Peter. That's a human problem. For me, for us today. We struggle with the same issues because it's a universal problem. And it's so easy to see everybody else's shortcomings, but Peter had to focus on his own shortcomings. And he had his own issues to deal with. And unless I get my thinking straightened out, I cannot be in communion with Jesus. Peter wasn't in communion here. He was walking totally opposite way Jesus wanted him to walk. If I can't get my thinking straightened out, I can't grow in my Christian walk. And the Christian life is going to be pure frustration. Jesus says, follow me. Verse 22, Peter was saying, God, Jesus, you don't have to suffer. That was the crux of this whole discussion. You're too good to suffer. You don't have to suffer. And we live in a world that is taught very prominently. God wants to bless you. Just relax. God is just going to pour out blessings upon your life. God wants to make you rich. God wants to give you a new car. God's going to do all this good stuff for you. Just trust him. And you see what Jesus' response was? Jesus is saying, that's not what my kingdom's about. He says, you're an offense to me. This word, offense, we take it that it's offensive, that I kind of get offended. But this word offense means it's a snare, it's a trap. And it literally says, you're setting a trap for me. And you want me to walk into that thing and I'm going to get hurt. And the snares of this world says, you can be a good person and you can serve God. And God is just going to pour out all these financial blessings upon your life. I think this gets more real than maybe we realize. We have people that like to follow Dave Ramsey. I say that name is a very popular financial guide. And he has 7 baby steps to financial freedom. And his slogan is this: if you live like no one else, later you can live and give like no one else. If you live like no one else, meaning right now you skimp and you save and you just put all your money you just do everything right. You pay off all your credit cards. That's not my subject this morning. If you live like no one else, then you can live like no one else. You know how Dave Ramsey lives his life right now? Tax records show that Dave Ramsey lives in a 13,000 square foot home with a 1,400 square foot garage. Not 1,400 square foot garage. That's big. Total cost of his house is $5 million. He is living life like no one else because he lived like no one else. He skimped and saved. He took some biblical principles of being responsible for your debt. But he's a health and wealth preacher that when you give God his rightful place, he's just going to pour out your blessings. His net worth is over $55 million. Beautiful home. Isn't that some fallacy thinking that sometimes we begin to be like Peter and says, I don't want to suffer. I want to have a nice house. I want a $5 million house. And God's going to bless it, man, give me because I give to the offering, or I give to the evangelist, that's the worldly teaching that we have. Jesus is saying, that's not my kingdom. With that kind of teaching, that opposes my kingdom. He says, thou savorest not the things that be of God. We always think of savor as being a taste. We love a good steak, it savors it. This thought of savor is thinking. The word means to think, to exercise the mind. And so he's saying, you're not thinking right, Peter. You're not thinking like I'm thinking. I don't like to suffer. I don't like hard times. I don't like, you put it in there. But Jesus is calling us to follow him, to think like he thinks. So many times I resent suffering. I resent being different than my neighbors. Whatever you struggle with, you put it in there. But that's what God is calling us. When he says, follow thou me, that means follow the way Jesus thinks. When we resent suffering, we resent living a separated life, it takes us out of communion. We can't have communion with the Father. We can't have a communion this morning when we're living in a life of resentment because of where God has put me. It goes on. We're still at Matthew chapter 16. The following verse 24 says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, not so that he can live a life like no one else, but that he can serve Jesus. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Jesus is calling us this morning to follow him, to live like he lives. And it's a life of self-denial. To take up a cross, it's not pleasant. God never promised our life was going to be full of roses. But he says, you deny yourself, and I will be there for you. How do you think Peter took this? getting called out by Jesus, getting called, you're an offense. Do you think he bristled? Peter was a man of action, so I don't know what he did. That would have been really hard for me, and I'm sure it was really hard for Peter. But there's times in our life where God has to reach down and touch our life and call us out and say, you're not living a life. You're an offense. And then we have to decide what we're going to do with it. Let's look at another scene in Peter's life. Let's go to chapter 17. We have this grand, what we call the Transfiguration. This was a marvelous event where Peter was up on the mountaintop with Jesus and the prophet. It says after 6 days, it's only a few days later, 6 days a week, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth them up unto an high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with them. Then answered Peter. Did someone ask him a question? I feel bad for Peter, because I'm a quiet type, so I might think thoughts, but I won't say them. But Peter's just the type that he couldn't stand silence. And this is just an exciting moment. And he just can't stand being quiet. And so he just says what he thinks. And he's like, Lord, this is so good to be here. Let's just stay in this experience. We're going to build a tabernacle up here. We're just going to have the grandest time of our life. That's what he says. Peter, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. But yet while he spake, there was a voice that came out of heaven and said, Peter, be quiet. Peter struck out again. He's trying so much to be a part of God's kingdom, but he wasn't putting his energies where God wanted them. And there was a voice that came out of heaven and said, Peter, it's not about you. It's not about the experience. It's about me. It's about my heavenly Father. There was this voice that came out of heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hearing. Peter, be quiet. Just stop talking and listen to Jesus. And there's times in our life where we just have to stop talking and allow Jesus to speak into my heart. It's so easy to have the right answer or to want to give my 2 cents. I have all the good ideas. I have a lot of good ideas, but you don't think so. Peter had a good idea. And you know what it's like to put your ideas out there and no one votes on them? And everyone just smiles. Maybe as dads of the home, you have a grand idea and everybody just laughs a little bit. You kind of feel deflated. Well, Peter was so much, this was his maybe heroes or people. I don't know what that had been like to be with Elias and to Elijah and Moses. It was a great event. And he got called out. We're having such a good time, and God interrupts us, and he says, take time to listen to Jesus. So that's my challenge to you this morning. Are we taking time to hear Jesus? Are we studying his words? Are we staying close to him? There's many services out there that'll give you the emotional high, that gives you the emotional journey, and you say, oh, I just want to stay here. I feel so good. Music has a way of doing that. You can get into music, and you just dwell on it. Jesus didn't say, sing a song. He said, go to my word and study me. Are we staying close to Jesus? Turn with me to another account. I'm going to switch over to John 13. And I know that's the feet washing passage. I'm not going to make many comments on it. But I just want to point out of another situation where Peter struck out. He got called out for his attitude. Brother Jason plans to read this, so I don't want to take away from his thoughts. But we know the story, how that Jesus came to wash his feet. And Peter said, no way, Lord. That's not your job. You're not washing my feet. And the Lord said, Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So Jesus saying, no, Peter. No, that's not the point. He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Poor Peter. You ever feel sorry for yourself because you're getting it all wrong? You try so hard to serve the Lord, and you just feel like it's one mistake after another. But Jesus keeps telling us, follow me. Just get in line and just listen to my teaching. Just come in behind me, and I will show you. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 26. Our point under that all these references are that we need to accept correction. And it's the hardest thing in my life when I feel like that I'm right. And to be called out and say, you're wrong. You're not doing what Jesus wants. And as men, that's really hard. But we have to be willing to accept the corrections in my life if I want to have communion personally with the Lord and if we want to have communion together this morning. We're back to Matthew 26. I want to look at verse 31. Here's where we're getting into the crucifixion story. We know this story. How that Peter said, Lord, I'm going to follow you no matter what. I think we all can identify with that we give our hearts to the Lord and we're on fire for God and we say, Lord, I will follow you. I am so much on fire for you, Lord. I can't be wrong. I am going to follow you. It don't matter what comes into my life. And Jesus said, Peter, you're thinking too highly than you should. Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter says, no way, Lord. I'll never deny you. You know the story. Verse 31, then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. He says, I'm better than the rest of these disciples. Even if the rest of the disciples deny you, Lord, I will never deny you. That's quite a commitment. That's where our commitment should be. And we know that Jesus said, Peter, you're not as strong as what you think. And all of us need to realize that we are not as strong as we think. The verse in 1 Corinthians 10, to him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest ye fall. It's talking about the temptations of life. But the times when we say, I'm strong, and Lord, I will stand with you no matter what, we need to be very careful because those times we are weak. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Stands in such stark contrast. When we allow God to make us strong versus standing strong in my own flesh, in my own carnality. Jesus can make us strong. Jesus can give us the power to stand strong. But when I do it on my own, I will fall. And Peter was trying to do it on his own power. There's teaching in this world that you are who you think you are. If you tell yourself you're going to do something, you can. The power of positive thinking goes back to the health and the wealth. That's not what Jesus is teaching. We can have victory with God's help, but on my own I will fall. And we don't have anywhere where Peter cried out and said, Lord, I need you. Lord, I've just really messed up. Lord, I need you to get into my life. But God, just Jesus kept working and working and drawing him closer to him. It wasn't long. We have this account. And a few more verses over, we have the disciples sleeping. Verse 40, he cometh unto the disciples and find them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Here's this strong man that's just going to follow God no matter what, and he's sleeping. He lost the importance of prayer. If we want to have communion with God this morning, we're going to have a real prayer life where God is real, and we can pour out our hearts to him, and we have that relationship. Are we minimizing prayer? Is it something that's growing stronger in our experience or less? Do we love Jesus so much that we are in communion with him on a daily basis? The story keeps on going. And we get to 43 and we find them asleep again. Here's strong Peter asleep because he's tired. And he wakes up and there's an entire mob staring at him. And he remembers that he told Jesus, Lord, I will do anything for you. And he whips out that sword and he starts slashing. He comes out swinging. He was swinging to kill. He wasn't swinging to slice ears. And we have Jesus saying, Peter, stop. That's not what my kingdom's about. Peter, you've got it wrong again. Put your sword away. You follow me. You stop relying on your own self. My natural tendency is to defend myself. Defend myself with my sword, cutting words, defensive, bristling, actions. Maybe I try to build a real tall wall and keep y'all out. Jesus is saying, Peter, that's not my way. The point is to learn to accept correction. Can I be a Christian and a follower of Jesus if I can't accept criticism and correction? Will this communion service do anything for me if I have not learned how to follow Jesus in everyday life? Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. We must learn to accept criticism and correction if we want to be in close communion with God. I'm ready to move on to my second point, and my rest of my points will be fairly short. We have Peter denying his Lord. Well, he didn't deny his Lord yet. I want verse 54, Luke 22, verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. My point is this: if we want to have close communion with God, we have to resist the urge to follow afar off. I don't know if you can identify, I think you can, that when you try and you fail and you get rebuked, the next step is to say, okay then, just be that way. And I just sensed that that was Peter. He just said, all right, I've had enough. I want to know where this thing's going, but I've messed up. And he's just following afar off, and we know the story. We must resist the urge to follow afar off. Peter had feelings. He was hurt. He was hurting. And then we have this damsel come to him, and she said, ah, you're one of those disciples. No way. And we have Peter cursing and swearing, denying his very Lord. And I'm sure when Jesus turned and looked at him, his heart just fell. Because he did the very thing that he was so sure that he would never do. We have Peter following afar off. Verse 55, we have him sitting down among the people. We have him in a wrong crowd. And when we begin to follow Jesus afar off, my relationship with God grows cold. All of a sudden, Peter wasn't caring so much about being a disciple. He was just sitting with the crowd, listening to the gossip. Let's look at our third point. If I want to have communion with Jesus, I must have true godly sorrow for my sin. And we have the story here in Luke, verse 61. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. He was just broken. He just did the very thing that he said he would never do. His heart didn't want to, but on his own power, he failed. And that relationship, that communion with the Heavenly Father was broken. And Jesus looked at him in a longing way, and it was just like Peter. And Peter just wept. We could go back to Matthew. I want to go back to Matthew. Matthew 26, the same account. Trying to find my verse. Chapter 26, verse 75, we again have that Peter remembered the words of Jesus, and he went out and he wept bitterly. He was sorrowful for what happened. We also have a man that was sorry, and that was Judas. We have Judas in chapter 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that was condemned, repented himself. That sounds good. He's repenting. He brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elder, saying, "I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What's that to us?" And he just said, "There's no sense in living." And he went out and took his life. That's not godly sorrow. Peter allowed the godly sorrow to change his life. Judas was just sorry that he got caught. I believe everyone feels a sorrow for the sin that they do. But I need to let it so much more than that. I need to have a godly sorrow, one that brings me to repentance and to change, one that restores the communion with the Heavenly Father. I'd like to go back to John 21 for my last point, where we started. Poor Peter. He tried and he tried. And he's a dynamic man. People like Peter. He was, maybe we call him the life of the party. I really think he was an enjoyable person to be around. But Jesus kept calling him out in times when he wanted to do what he thought was the right thing. And we looked at those accounts. Finally, Peter said, "Enough of it. I'm going back to something that I know. I'm going fishing." In John 21, we find him saying, "I'm just going fishing." Verse 3, Simon Peter said unto them, "I go fishing," and I just put down, I'm just tired of it. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to something I'm good at. I'm going back to the job I love. I just want to excel at something. Maybe I'm putting more in here than what happened. And my fourth point is this: if I want communion with Jesus, I must learn to serve where called. Jesus didn't let him there. Jesus left him go fishing, but then he came after him. And he said, "Peter, do you really love me?" And he asked him again, "Peter," I think he says, "Do you love me?" And he probably motioned maybe to the boat. It was a nice boat. Had all the latest fishing gear on there. And he said, "Peter, do you really love me more than these?" And Peter says, "Yay, Lord, you know I love you. I've been telling you that all my life." "Peter, do you really love me?" And Jesus gave him a job to do. He said, "You go feed my sheep." And I can't imagine what Peter's response was. It was like, "Lord, I'm not a shepherd. I hate sheep. I fish. I'm good at it. I don't have a clue how to be a shepherd." God calls us to areas in our life that we're not really good at. But when Jesus says, "Go feed my sheep," there's only one response, and that is to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Lord, I need your help. I can't do that, but Lord, I want to have communion with you. I want to be one with you. I want to have your blessing upon my life. Lord, can you help me feed these sheep? Lord, these sheep get on my nerves. Can you help me, Lord? I don't know what went through Peter's mind, but it wasn't what Peter wanted to do. And God changed Peter into a man that was a tremendous asset in his church. And Peter accepted that calling, and he went out, and he was a mighty man for Jesus and his kingdom. God will call us to areas where to serve, where he thinks best, not where I think is best. But the tendency is to do what Peter did. We go into verse 20. Peter looks around and says, okay, if I got to be a shepherd, what about you? What about John? What's he going to do? Jesus said, you don't worry about John. I'll take care of John. And our tendency is to look at everybody else and maybe to think they have it too much better. John don't have to be a shepherd. John can keep on fishing. He didn't have to sell his boat. I know I'm just putting thoughts in there. But that's life. God calls each one of us to areas, and we have to be ready to accept it. Our human nature says that it's easy to look at all of you and think you all have it better than I do. And I'm guessing you all probably struggle with the same thing. We look at each other and we say, well, their life is so much easier. Why can't I be like? You put the blank in there. But can we be thankful for where God has called each one of us? I believe to have a real communion service this morning, my heart must be filled with gratitude for what God has done for me, for where God has placed me. God has placed each one of you in this congregation. We should be thankful for that and finding fulfillment in that, serving to the best of our abilities. Can I have communion this morning without a thankful heart? It's a question I want to ponder. Am I thankful for where God has placed me? Am I willing to serve where called? This morning, as we partake of communion, may we be grateful, and may we purpose in our hearts to again, that where Jesus leads, we will follow. God bless.